Shalom Aleichem, Mishnah Yomi is finishing Ketuvot. We are in chapter 13, Mishnah 11, and then Bli Neder will begin Nedarim. So yesterday we discussed a husband moving his family to a different type of city, a different type of dwelling, or a different area, a different region. And now in the final Mishnah, we talk about our favorite place to move to, Hakol Ma'alin Le'eretz Yisrael. Anyone, everyone, can urge their family to make aliyah, to go to Eretz Yisrael. Aliyah is to go up. Ma'alin is make someone go up, urge someone to go up. Ve'ena kol motzi'in. But everyone cannot force their family to leave Eretz Yisrael. The Mefarshim explain, even to go from a good city with abundant produce in Chutz La'aretz, to go to a city with, you know, it's a little harder, it's a little more difficult to live in Eretz Yisrael, that's still an allowed upgrade. That's considered an upgrade. The Mishnah continues, a kol ma'alin Yerushalayim. Once you're in Israel, you can get your family to go and move to Yerushalayim, even again to a more cramped apartment. And Yerushalayim is better than a spacious mansion in Chutz La'aretz. Ve'ena kol motzi'in, but you can't make them leave. Echad ha'anoshim ve'echad anoshim. And this is both men and women. So either the father in this household or the mother can urge the family to go to Yerushalayim. Now, the issue is, if one of them absolutely cannot go, there's business interests in Chutz La'aretz, whatever the issue is, then basically they can stipulate either we're going to Eretz Yisrael or going to Yerushalayim, or it's over. You have to pay up the ketuvah. And in the opposite direction, if the man really wants to go and move to Eretz Yisrael, and it's impossible for the woman to leave, then he could leave her in Chutz La'aretz without paying the ketuvah. Obviously, this requires a lot of discussion with rabbis and with people who help, who assist in Aliyah. There are a lot of programs to assist people in making Aliyah, so it's not just, you know, you get off the plane and you have nothing. So, Baruch Hashem, something to look into. We have many programs to help people to come to Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Mishnah continues, Nasa Isha be'Eretz Yisrael. They got married in Eretz Yisrael. V'gersha be'Eretz Yisrael. They got divorced in Israel. Notin lamemot Eretz Yisrael. When he pays the ketuvah, he can pay with the local currency. Nasa Isha Be'eretz Yisrael, the Mishnah continues, if they got married in Israel, Gersha Be'Kapotkia, and they moved to Kapotkia, which apparently is in Asia Minor, the Turkey region. Notin La Mimot Eretz Yisrael. He can pay the ketuvah off in coinage that's from Eretz Yisrael. Maybe those coinage contain less gold or less silver than the local currency in Kapotkia, but since they got married, the ketuvah contract was effective in Eretz Yisrael, that is allowed. The Mishnah continues, Nasa Isha be'Kapotkia, be'Gersha be'Eretz Yisrael. The other way around, they got married in Kapotkia and moved to made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, not to Eretz Yisrael. He can pay off in the local currency. The Eretz Yisrael money is valid, even though the marriage started in Kapotkia, where perhaps the currency contains more precious metal, is worth more. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Meir, note in the Kapotkia. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says he holds the ketuvah is a deraisa obligation. It's a biblical contract. And for instance, if you borrowed money in a certain locale, you'd have to pay back from the same money of that locale, which has the same value. You understand the coins back then sometimes contained more or less silver, were larger or smaller than the coins in other locations. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds he has to pay back in the original currency because his ketuvah obligation, his debt obligation, was made with that currency. Finally, Nasa Isha be'Kapotkia, be'Gersha be'Kapotkia, the marriage and divorce both took place in Turkey. Notin lamot Kapotkia, he pays with the local coins. And Varshim point out that seems obvious. It's even if the husband came from Eretz Yisrael, but the marriage was done over there, and they use the local currency. So Mazel Tov, let's go on to Nedarim. Now, as we're going to describe in much more detail coming up, a neder is a vow that takes effect on an object. Now, we're going to get into shavuot. A shavua, an oath, takes effect on a person. And we're going to start off here in the first chapter of Nedarim talking about which types of words make an effective neder, because not every utterance a person makes counts as a neder. Otherwise, people would be in a lot of trouble because they'd have a lot of nedarim on their heads. So Mishnah Aleph, Chapter Aleph, Kol Kinui Nedarim Kinedarim. All of the nicknames of nedarim, so a kinui is a nickname or a substitute word, a synonym, they function kinedarim. Now, tomorrow's Mishnah is going to give you some examples of those. The charamim kecharamim, and substitute words for a cherem work as a cherem. A cherem means a ban, but it means a vow to the temple. Shvuot ke shvuot, and nicknames for shvuot count as shvuot. unizirot kinizirot. And as we'll get into in more detail in nizirot, that the words that are a synonym for making someone a nazir are legally binding to make him a nazir. Now we'll get more into kinuim tomorrow, but now the Mishnah goes on to a subject of a sort of a partial statement, but is it clear enough to be making a neder or not from these words? So ha'omer l'chavero, Reuven says to Shimon, mudrani mimcha, I am mudr from you. Now mudr is like a neder, so I'm taking a vow on you or against you. Or he says, mufreshani mimach, I am separating myself from you. Mehru hakani mimach, I'm distancing myself from you. She'eni ochel loch, that I'm not going to eat your food. Or he says, she'eni toim loch, I'm not tasting any of what's yours. Usser, this Reuven is now forbidden from eating any food of Shimon, even though each of these statements by themselves, they're sort of incomplete, but we can understand what he means. I'm distancing myself from you. What do Jews do when they get together? They share food, they eat, they have a drink, they have a nosh together. So he says, I'm being far apart from you, I'm separating from you. That means we're not going to eat together. I'm not going to eat anything that belongs to you. The Mishnah brings another example, menude anilach. I am menude from you, like lashon nida or nidui. And he also adds, like, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to taste. Rabbi Akiva hayachochech bazei lachachmer. Rabbi Akiva would chochech, which is like rub his mouth together, kind of like, purse his lips, make sort of a frown. So he wasn't giving them a clear answer, but it seemed like he wanted to be stringent and want to be machmer, even though this word menude, it's pretty vague compared to the other words, but he would be strict that it was a vow. And the Mishnah adds, kinidre rishayim. He starts his neder statement by saying, I'm making this neder like the rishayim. And then he says, I'm going to bring a carbon or a shavua, not to do something, or a nizirut. So nadar ben nazir, the carbon is shavuot. He makes this, he then says he's making a neder to become a nazir or to bring an offering or to vow, for instance, to vow not to eat carbs, not to eat bread during the week or something like this. So these we're going to see are valid, even though he says kinidri rishayim. So what he's really alluding to is that rishayim tend to make a lot of vows and nadarim, even though they don't necessarily fulfill them. So he's really sort of just adding flavor to his vow, maybe getting attention, but it doesn't change the effect of the vow. Kinidri kasherim, he says, I'm making a vow like the righteous. And then he adds, I'm going to be a nazir or bring a karban. Lo amar klum. So it's not legally binding because righteous people usually typically don't make vows. Okay, so Yaakov Avinu, our father Jacob, made a vow on his way to Chutz La'aretz to get married. He made a vow, please help me and assist me and I'll come back and I'll bring offerings. That's a very, it's a very like one-of-a-kind situation, a very difficult situation. So even a tzaddik in such a situation could have made a vow. Again, please don't go around making nedarim or vows or shavuot or oaths. We really try not to do this. We have a whole service on Yom Kippur. The very first thing we do on Yom Kippur is try to absolve and negate any vows and oaths and curses and the like. So we're not going to go around making nedarim, but thank God we need to learn about them and we learn how to use our words appropriately and safely. Finally, the Mishnah says, k'nidvotam, like their nidava. So he says, like the nidava, the gifts of the kasherim, the gifts of the righteous. And then he says he's making a vow. Nadar, so that's a binding vow, benazir or bekarban, or it's a valid nazirot or a valid karban. Because when a righteous person wants to do something, they'll say it's a nedava, it's a gift. They're not making a neder, a binding legal obligation, because you never know if you'll be able to fulfill it. But saying, I'm making a gift, I'm going to make a gift to tzedakah, that's a beautiful thing to do, and that's a binding legal obligation. Yishar koach and mazel tov.